Hi everyone, great to see you again this week. Let me start by telling you about a city. It has a river running through it. That may not help, as many cities have rivers. It's home to around 11 million people. It's full of history, full of culture, museums, good food, nice coffee. Does that help? Probably a bit generic still. It's sometimes known as the City of Light, as one of the first large European cities to use gas lighting on a large scale. But one of the best things about this city, and this will definitely give it away, is the Eiffel Tower is there. This city is called Paris. One of the best things about this city is the Eiffel Tower. Well, let me tell you about another city. This city also has a river running through it. Its population is unknown, but growing. It's a welcoming city where you'll find people from all nationalities living and working there. This city, in fact, is a perfect square. There are three gates and entrances on each side, so 12 gates in total. But the best thing about this city is that the Lord is there. This city is called Yahweh Sama, which means the Lord is there. That's the name of this city, Yahweh Sama, the Lord is there. Cities are known for famous people or landmarks, and sometimes names will tell you something about a city. Bandon, coming of course from the river. Cork, for example, comes from a word that means marsh. Hopefully that doesn't give you any negative connotations about the city of Cork. Or the city of Bath in the UK, known for its Roman-built baths. But this city described in this chapter of Ezekiel that we're going to read is unique in a way like no other. The Lord is there. And that is its name, Yahweh Sama. We started this series in the names of God, thinking about the transcendent God, Elohim. And now our final chapter of this series, we finish thinking about the immanence or the closeness of God, Yahweh Sama, the Lord is there. That's the name of God that we're going to be thinking about today. And we're going to read Ezekiel 48 just now and focus our thoughts on this city. Ezekiel chapter 48. These are the tribes listed by name. At the northern frontier, Dan will have one portion. It will follow the Hethlon Road to Lebo Hamath, Hazar Inan, and the northern border of Damascus. Next to Hamath will be part of its border from the east side to the west side. Asher will have one portion. It will border the territory of Dan from east to west. Naphtali will have one portion. It will border the territory of Asher from east to west. Manasseh will have one portion. It will border the territory of Naphtali from east to west. Ephraim will have one portion. It will border the territory of Manasseh from east to west. Reuben will have one portion. It will border the territory of Ephraim from east to west. Judah will have one portion. It will border the territory of Reuben from east to west. Bordering the territory of Judah from east to west will be the portion you are to present as a special gift. It will be 25,000 cubits wide, and its length from east to west will equal one of the tribal portions. The sanctuary will be in the center of it. The special portion you are to offer to the Lord will be 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 cubits wide. This will be the sacred portion for the priests. It will be 25,000 cubits long on the north side, 10,000 cubits wide on the west side, 10,000 cubits wide on the east side, and 25,000 cubits long on the south side. In the center of it will be the sanctuary of the Lord. This will be for the consecrated priests, the Zadokites, who were faithful in serving me and did not go astray as the Levites did when the Israelites went astray. It will be a special gift to them from the sacred portion of the land, a most holy portion, bordering the territory of the Levites. Alongside the territory of the priests, the Levites will have an allotment, 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 cubits wide. Its total length will be 25,000 cubits and its width 10,000 cubits. They must not sell or exchange any of it. This is the best of the land and must not pass into other hands, because it is holy to the Lord. The remaining area, 5,000 cubits wide and 25,000 cubits long, will be for the common use of the city, for houses and for pasture land. The city will be in the centre of it and will have these measurements: the north side, 4,500 cubits, the south side, 4,500 cubits, the east side, 4,500 cubits, and the west side, 4,500 cubits. The pasture land for the city will be 250 cubits on the north, 250 cubits on the south, 250 cubits on the east, and 250 cubits on the west. What remains of the area, bordering on the sacred portion and running the length of it, will be 10,000 cubits on the east side and 10,000 cubits on the west side. Its produce will supply food for the workers of the city. The workers from the city who farm it will come from all the tribes of Israel. The entire portion will be a square, 25,000 cubits on each side. As a special gift, you will set aside the sacred portion along with the property of the city. These will be the exits of the city. Beginning on the north side, which is 4,500 cubits long, the gates of the city will be named after the tribes of Israel. The three gates on the north side will be the gate of Reuben, the gate of Judah, and the gate of Levi. On the east side, which is 4,500 cubits long, will be three gates: the gate of Joseph, the gate of Benjamin, and the gate of Dan. On the south side, which measures 4,500 cubits, will be three gates: the gate of Simeon, the gate of Issachar, and the gate of Zebulun. On the west side, which is 4,500 cubits long, will be three gates: the gate of Gad, the gate of Asher, and the gate of Naphtali. The distance all around will be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that time on will be "The Lord is There." Well, if you feel unfamiliar with Ezekiel, you are in good company. To help us understand where we are, it's helpful to know a few things about this book. First, it's written by a priest called Ezekiel. He was in Babylon, along with others from Israel who'd been taken into exile. Second, the book is full of visions that Ezekiel sees over a span of about 20 years. These visions come before and after the period of the destruction of Jerusalem. And third, early on in this book, Ezekiel sees a vision of the presence of God leaving the temple. This is absolute disaster for the people of God, that God, the God of creation, of the universe, would come and live with his people, but now his presence has left. So now, as we come to the very last chapter of Ezekiel, Ezekiel sees a vision of the new land of Israel, divided equally, with a city at the center. And the city has a name, and it's Yahweh Sama, which means "The Lord is there." There is hope for the exiles. This is a vision of a future that has not yet been fulfilled. These divisions and dimensions that we read about are not historical. In fact, the way in which they've been divided never came to fruition historically. These divisions and the makeup of this new map is theological. You could call it theological geography, as some have done. So, as an example, it's not a very helpful way to divide up a country if we divided it up as we read it in this chapter. If you can see in the slide here that there's straight lines all across the country. That doesn't take into account the natural topography of the land, that it may not make sense for straight lines to go straight across a map. but it gives us a picture. A picture of equality where each tribe is given an equal share. And the picture that is painted has God's city with his temple at the very center. Something that is significant theologically, not just geographically where it may be located on the map. God is at the heart of this renewed land. So this city represents what we also read about in Revelation, the New Jerusalem, the city of God, which will be in the new creation, the place where God dwells, heaven on earth. God's presence will come to dwell on a renewed earth in a perfect and a full way. And the city that we read about in Ezekiel is called The Lord Is There. He is present in the place that represents where his people are. There's 12 gates. This four-square city, this strong and sturdy city, represents the whole people of God. All the tribes of Israel are accounted for. And God is wherever his people are. So as we think about this name, The Lord Is There, I want to very quickly mention that we're not going to explore God's omnipresence, the truth that God is present everywhere. He is an all-powerful, all-present God, and we cannot go anywhere in this entire universe where God isn't there. So it sets up the question, well, what does it mean that the Lord is there if he's everywhere? Well, the picture painted by Ezekiel is one that tells us how he is present where his people are. And we see that in this new city. The Lord is there in the fullest and most perfect way in the new creation. This is the future hope that Ezekiel is writing about. The hope of a renewed land and a renewed city where God's presence is not just in the temple or in a tent. It's in the entire city. And don't forget that this is picture language. It doesn't mean that in the new creation, we're all going to live in one city. And that is the place where we go to be with God. This is a picture of the perfect place that we will experience at the end of time. It is perfect and full and wonderful because the Lord is there. His presence will be with us. And it's amazing that this presence isn't a far-flung thing that we have to go to another galaxy, or we need to escape Earth to find it, or even travel to another dimension. God is going to come and dwell on Earth, a renewed Earth, the place where he first put humans to live and to enjoy and to rule over his creation, and where they enjoyed his presence fully in the Garden of Eden. The deepest longings that we have, that we might struggle even to work out what those longings are for God's presence. We deeply need his presence with us, that we would be with him in a full and unbroken way. We know what it's like when we wait for our relationships to be restored and to be enjoyed fully. We remember what it was like that we couldn't see our family members. We couldn't meet together in church. We couldn't meet up with our friends. We longed for relationships to be enjoyed fully again. And with some people, it's not quite there yet. With lots of us, we can't enjoy those relationships yet to the full. Meeting family and friends using a screen wasn't just the same, was it? We longed to meet them face to face. Well, that's what it will be like with God. We will see him face to face because he will be there. As we'll think about in a moment, we can enjoy God's presence now, but it will be experienced in a complete and a wonderful way in the world to come. He fulfills our deepest longing. All that we long for now will be completely satisfied. Without sin, without striving, those longings will be satisfied in his presence. This incredible place is all that we could ever hope for or imagine. And it should fill us with so much hope and joy now that knowing the security that we have a place with God forever. We're planning our holiday at home this year. We've got a couple of weeks booked in September, and we're excited to go away on holiday. We have it booked. We're going to the west of Ireland, and knowing that we're going helps us as we work and as we do normal life now. Well, knowing where we're going should give us so much hope and joy and motivation that we have a wonderful, everlasting home to look forward to. The new city that we see here in Ezekiel is a picture of inclusivity. We see that in verse 19. It will be a place that is inclusive for all of God's people. We see in this picture all the tribes may come and work in the city. Let's read verse 18 and 19 just now. What remains of the area bordering on the sacred portion and running the length of it will be 10,000 cubits on the east side and 10,000 cubits on the west side. Its produce will supply food for the workers of the city. The workers from the city who farm it will come from all the tribes of Israel. This is a place where all of God's people dwell. It's inclusive. All of God's people are welcome. And we see in this picture all the tribes coming to work in the city. You see, everyone is welcome. We see that as well with the 12 gates representing the 12 tribes all around the city. Each tribe represented complete unity and equality. You might notice as well that this city will be a place of work. The city is buzzing with work and activity. This is what we can expect in God's renewed world. Work and activity. Passions and hobbies are all redeemed and can all now be enjoyed and worked at in a perfect place for all eternity. And the incredible, the best thing about this new city is the Lord is there. That's what it's called. We will experience his presence in a full and complete way, and it gives us great reason to have hope now. Getting to be in this new city with the Lord gives us reason to live and to keep going. As we keep thinking about this name, our minds are transported to a future time where we will experience God's presence like never before. But we can also say that the Lord is there. As we gather to worship as his people now. As we gather to worship the Lord now, the church here on earth paints a picture of that new city that we've just been thinking about. The church is a taste of what's to come. Tomorrow, Kevin and Bogey will be able to finally celebrate their marriage with a wedding celebration. They've been looking forward to it for months, to being able to celebrate with friends and family and have a meal together. And part of the planning and preparation for the wedding is where you will sit down and plan what the meal is going to be. They do a tasting. You get to try and taste the food that you're going to enjoy at the wedding. Now, the meal, I'm sure, would have been lovely in tasting the food, but it wouldn't compare to the day where you celebrate with friends and family, enjoying the meal together. The first was just a taste of what was to come. And that's what it's like. The church is a taste of that new city in heaven. People from all different nations gathering together in unity and in equal standing to worship the Lord. That's what we do when we gather together. and he's present among his people. As we thought about earlier with the children, God's presence dwelled in the tabernacle and later in the temple. But that temple has been replaced by the church. His people are his temple, his spiritual house. It's described by Peter like this: as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And that is where his presence can be experienced most clearly in the world today, in the church, in this place that is being built into a spiritual house where God dwells. He is there with his people in a way that is different from how he is present in general. It's the church where he has chosen to make known his presence in this world. Clubs or schools or societies or committees might meet together, groups of people, and the Lord is present because he is present everywhere. But he is specially present with his people because they now form his spiritual house. The Lord's presence is most clearly shown today when his church gathers to worship. If you want to experience God's presence today, the clearest way to do that is to be present with his people. Maybe you think, oh, I want to experience the best food. Where will I go? Well, maybe, like we mentioned, you could go to Paris. You could explore the different restaurants that stay open all hours of the night. Or if you really want to experience the music of the artist that you love, well, you probably need to go and see them in concert, see them live, see the experience of the music. Or you really want to experience that new film that's coming out, that blockbuster. And the best experience is really going to be in the cinema, as it was designed to be. Well, if you want to experience God's presence, the best and most obvious way to do that is to gather with his people. Because that's where we taste the city to come, the city that's called the Lord is there. And this is something to be enjoyed and savored and to be taken seriously as well. We can enjoy the presence of God in a way that is unique and special when we gather as his people together. His presence is demonstrated in a way that it can't be otherwise, because the church is the place where God has chosen to show his presence and to demonstrate that to the world. It's something to be enjoyed and savored. What a blessing that the Lord has chosen his people to be his spiritual house. That includes you as part of that house. And as we meet, it's helpful to remember that it's no small matter that the God of the universe has chosen for his presence to be shown through his church. We're his representatives. It's not something to be flippant about or taken lightly. That's why it was terribly sad when the church couldn't meet, when the whole body, even now, can't meet as we would want to. It's in the gathering of God's people that the world can get a taste of this new city. They might get a glimpse on Zoom or in a recorded sermon, but it is incredibly special and important that the church continues to gather. So we need to pray that we would represent him well, and at a time like this, that we would pray especially for those who can't gather with us. They wish they could gather to have this taste of what that new city will be like, to gather to experience God's presence in a special and unique way, but they can't. So we need to pray for them, that the Lord would sustain them and help them through such a difficult time. The Lord is there as we gather to worship him. And finally, the Lord is there individually as we are filled with his Spirit. When we think about God's presence, we know the wonderful truth and reality that God is present with each of us who trust him by his Spirit. We, together as his people, are the temple of God. And as well as this, each one of us that has come to him has been filled by the Holy Spirit, and he dwells within us. The Lord is there. He is present in a personal way with each one of his people. We don't need to approach a temple or go to a specific location to find God or to worship him. He is present with each of us by his Spirit. The picture of the new city in Ezekiel is a picture that has a temple, and God is in the temple. That's a picture of God's transcendence, because in his temple, God's not approachable by everybody. He's high above and he's holy, and only the priest, the high priest, could go once a year. It's like that first name that we thought about in this series, Elohim, God who is transcendent and above all creation. But as well as being in the temple, he's in the city. The name of the city is the Lord is there. This is a picture of his closeness, because God is close to his people. He's walking the streets. He's spending time with those farmers that we read of in Ezekiel. He's chatting with those preparing food for the workers. God is a personal and close God. So much so that he has chosen to come and live within each of us. You can't get much closer than that. The Lord is present within each of us by his Spirit. And as we're scattered because of work, or because of where we live, or because of the activities or things that we do, we know the Lord is with us. He's not in one fixed place on a map, or he's not waiting until the church gathers, until we can experience his presence again. He's dwelling in us by his Spirit to help and to guide and to challenge and to correct and to grow us as we live for him. So in this coming week, try to take time. It might be a few seconds. It might be a few minutes here and there to be conscious of the Lord's presence. Conscious as we go about our lives that he is with us each step we take. He's giving us strength, wisdom, and help for the circumstances that we're facing. He's present with us by his Spirit, and he's present there as we're tempted. Even as we sin and go against his ways, he's there. Let's think twice before falling into temptation, because God's Spirit is within us. He's right there with us. Let's be conscious and excited as we gather as his people. His presence is experienced in a way that is completely unique in this whole world when his church gathers. His church is now his temple, and this is where his presence can be experienced in a unique way. And finally, let's be conscious of that new city called the Lord is there. The city that paints a picture of the wonderful future that we can look forward to, a place where we will experience God's presence like never before, as we see him face to face, and we will never have to leave. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. Lord, we thank you that we have this wonderful hope, this future ahead of this city called the Lord is there, that there's this place that we can go to, that we can live in with you forever. We thank you for that hope and that security, and that, Lord, even here now on earth, you are present with us. You fill each one of us as we come to you by your Spirit, and as we gather as your people, you make yourself known. You are present with us. And Lord, I pray now especially for those listening here online who can't join and worship with your people today. Bless them, Lord. Help them so much as they long to hear and to be with your people. Let them experience, Lord, your presence in a way as they are filled with your Spirit, and that they would know your comfort and your help. And we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace. In your precious Son's name, the Lord Jesus. Amen.